This is Caroline Gigerich. Her grandfather, Mr. Bush, lives in Katy's, Kentucky.
I love my grandfather. And I can't stand to see people mistreat someone who couldn't take care of himself. And I feel that way about any elderly person.
Gigerich's story is a complicated one. To start this series, she provides the emotion and concern behind many faceless victims that have yet to come forward with their own stories.
When my grandfather became ill, he had a hemoglobin loss, which is very similar to a stroke in terms of what it does to the brain. And he was left somewhat incapacitated both mentally and physically. His neighbor moved in to take care of him.
Gigerich thought it was a blessing that this neighbor they had known for years offered to help. She and the rest of the family lived hours away with full-time jobs. But something didn't seem right.
The neighbor wasn't what he seemed to be. The neighbor was actually abusing him, letting him, you know, live in squalid conditions. He was also stealing from him the tune of $30,000. And so this wasn't exactly evident over phone calls, but some weird things started happening.
Gigerich finally packed up her things and drove to Katy's. When she arrived, her grandfather was in a state where he no longer wanted to live. She says he was incontinent and couldn't make it to the bathroom. It was a mess. Floors were ruined, the fridge was full of months-old food, and he wasn't receiving his proper medication. This was all happening while the caretaker was being compensated for 24-hour care. This is just the beginning of Gigerich's issues. We take a closer look at the legal repercussions for this behavior in a later piece. But scenarios similar to this don't have to happen.
Call it Susie from the church.
Cindy Hancock is with the Pinerol Elder Abuse Council. She says the prevalence of elder abuse is known to everyone who works in the industry. It's hard to calculate because Hancock says this generation is private. Admitting abuse can translate into needing more help or becoming more dependent. Hancock says she hears stories like Gigerich's every day.
Susie from the church, everybody uses her. She's great. Well, did anybody bother to check her criminal background record? Did they check for drug testing? Did they do any type of reference checks at all other than, well, she sat for daddy. Well, what did she do when she sat for daddy?
Well, I've been doing it for about 20 years.
Barbara Noggle is a sitter, along with her other full-time job. She says it helps her pay her bills, and she likes making new friends and helping. And she says everyone isn't cut out for the job.
This woman had arthritis in her hands. Well, we did her shopping for her. Well, they'd go to the grocery store and buy her canned stuff, and she couldn't cook for herself. And I would get so aggravated.
Nargo worked for an agency. The agency performs background checks on all its employees and is licensed, bonded, and insured. In other words, if something happens, there's someone who's accountable. She says it's important that these people can be trusted.
You know, when you get in an older person's house, they're not going to know if something's been stolen or something, you know, if they're not in their right mind, and that makes them very vulnerable.
Cindy Hancock says there is really only one benefit for a client to seek out someone that's not with an agency. It's more affordable. But she says, unfortunately, the common theme in home care seems to be word of mouth. There are caregiver misconduct registries to help mitigate abuse. Most importantly, she says, is communication between family. But elder abuse is a catch-22. The National Center on Elder Abuse reports that 90% of abusers are family members. I'm Nicole Irwin in Murray.